Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Thank you for downloading. It's just you and me today, and that's just fine. Special announcement coming for those of you who are subscribers and for those who may be on the fence about subscribing to the Zabecast. Plus, I clean up a massive factual oil spill that I created last week right here on this podcast. So I just finished watching my one and only, probably, women's basketball game of the year. I know. Thank you. Congratulations are in, you know, in order for me. I did it. I got through almost all the game. I waited until the game finally ended to sit down and record this, and damn, I thought that would never come because the final 3 minutes was torture. But anyway, Iowa and Caitlin Clark hold off LSU, pretty much put them in a headlock in the second half. Caitlin Clark was once again effing amazing. Shootatron 4,000? What? So she had what? A 40 burger on 9 threes, tying a tournament record. Tried to get one in from the logo. That was a bit of a dumb shot. Didn't go in. Would have been the highlight, played over and over and over again. It was a great game early on. Angel Reese was giving it to her early, but then sprained her ankle and wasn't quite herself ever since, and Iowa goes on to the Final Four. Now, I have thoughts. I have many thoughts on all this, and I'm going to disclaim my thoughts with this. I want you to hear this, people, before you send me any emails. Listen up and listen good. I love that the women are having this moment in the sun. I hope it continues to grow. I think there's going to be a bit of a letdown after Caitlin Clark because she is so unique. Yes, there are great players cropping up all over the place. Juju Smith is just one of them, but she plays at USC, not in the heartland. The thing that makes Caitlin Clark such a marketable story is, one, her long-range shooting is truly unbelievable. You watch it and say, these look like layups. In fact, she's worse on layups. At least that's what I saw tonight, having watched my one full Caitlin Clark game. I'm like, okay, these look like layups. So number one, her long-range shooting is unlike anyone else's in basketball, in the women's game. And secondly, she's the Iowa girl. Iowa is its own sort of theme. It's its own story. It comes prepackaged. It's Heartland America. It goes back to the whole line from Field of Dreams. Ray, am I in heaven? No, you're in Iowa. And that's a powerful story. And of course, marketers are lining up left and right to be a part of it. Now, there'll be a little bit of a letdown. I don't know if another player can rise to the superstar level of Caitlin Clark. We'll see. And when there is someone else who gets up there in the stratosphere and starts getting marketed and pushed to the moon, will they handle it as well as Caitlin Clark? She is a steady, steady gal, young woman, to handle all this pressure. Because the flip side of it, failure and, you know, shit in your pants on the big stage would be brutal if it happens. I don't think it's going to happen. They may not win at all, but I don't think she's going to choke. She doesn't seem to have that in her DNA. She's tremendous. Her shooting is crazy. I would love to, there's two things I'd love to know. One, I'd love to know how she determines, okay, this is a good look. This is a good look for a three. This is not a good look for a three. I only watched one game, so I don't know her patterns. I'd just love to know her thinking of, well, here are my honey holes. Here's where I like to be. Here's my favorite spots. That's number one. Number two, I would just like to see her in laboratory conditions from, say, 27 feet, empty gym, lab conditions, shooting a bunch of racks of balls against some of the best in the NBA. Does she actually, in lab conditions, shoot it from deep? And I mean, let's call it 26, 27 feet deep. Is she as good as any NBA player from that distance? Because it sure does seem that way, that she has a mechanical action and repeatable form and sufficient strength and fundamentals where that's not a hard shot for her. She gets it off over people's hands, under pressure, off balance, floating, moving. It's incredible. But good for the women's game, good for Caitlin Clark, and no trash talking. I was a little bit expecting some trash talk between her and Angel Reese, but no, it was all above board, which, I don't know, a little disappointing. I thought there'd be some chirping. I thought Caitlin Clark had earned the right to chirp, chirp after last year's waving goodbye, pointing to her finger. Of course, this is not for the title, and Iowa has their eyes on the real prize, which is, of course, cutting down the nets in Cleveland. But there was that. Also, I couldn't quite get a vibe on the crowd, and I couldn't quite get a vibe on why it felt different audio-wise versus a men's game of similar intensity and proportion. It was a sellout, and I'm sure tickets were going at a premium, so it wasn't that there weren't enough people in the stands, but it never got the peaks of the big runs and big shots never got as intense as they typically do in a men's game. And that's even assuming there was a pretty good split between LSU fans and Iowa fans. So there's that aspect. I was also thinking, okay, these announcers, I don't know these announcers. I had to wait to the end to hear Ryan Ruoco was the lead play-by-play, and I believe it was Rebecca Lobo on color. So they were okay. Maybe they're the A team for women's games. I don't know. But it didn't feel the same. So I was thinking, think. I was tapping my forehead like Winnie the Pooh, and I'm like, oh, I know what's different. I would bet the percentage of girls at the game in the stands and older people, older people, moms and dads and parents and the like, is a way bigger percentage of the fans in, say, an 18,000-seat arena than there is for a men's game. The lack of the totally hammered, supercharged up, loud as hell male fans that are under the age of 25 probably was the difference in terms of the overall audio vibe. Now, maybe it was just the mix of the crowd, but if you watch the game tonight as a, okay, this is my one women's game I'm going to watch all year, tell me why you think, if you thought it felt different from a intensity, audio, crowd reaction standpoint. And if you did, what are your theories? That's my theory, at least, so there you go. I love that women's sports is thriving. I want all of our daughters, if you have daughters, to play sports. Sports are the greatest thing going. I think for youth development, it encourages people to work together as a team. It requires sacrifice, teamwork. It teaches you failure. It makes you get along with people that you may not like that much and perhaps see the better side of them. Brings together people of all different backgrounds and ethnicities and income levels. And when you are pursuing a goal as a team and you achieve that goal, just winning a damn game, it feels so good. And so I'm very happy that our young girls and women are getting this, and I want it to thrive. Okay, preamble over. I forgot just how far the women's game still is from the men's game. And if you think I'm bashing the women's game, again, let me say this. The women's game has come light years ahead of where it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It is far more watchable now. These gals have moves. They shoot from deeper. They got the Euro step, slow foot crossover. They've got a lot of the moves. They cannot jump. God bless the fairer sex and what they bring to the table in society, but verticality, no, not it. I don't know why that is. But it's not that I'm bashing the overall women's game. It's come a long way. It's better. It's watchable if you're into it. But the men's game, and I meant to say this yesterday on the pod, the men's game in college has gone nuclear. The more I watched over the past 3-4 days, really watched a lot of games, the more I just kept noting, fuck, these guys are athletic. They're not athletic. They're explosive. Every player in the men's game is explosive. I forget who it was who nearly hit his head on the backboard, blocking that shot by NC State late that they then had to review, and it took forever, and it was actually a clean block. Or was it the other way around? I think it was a Duke guy. Whatever. That's the difference. See, the men, I'd say at least 4 or 5 of the guys in the men's game could hit their head on the backboard if they really went up at it. There might be one girl on the court in a Elite Eight game for the women that can even touch the rim. And again, I'm not bashing. I'm saying this is a known limitation of the women's game. The men's game is explosive. It's so quick. It's so dynamic. In fact, I saw my boy Aaron Torres retweet somebody who said, and I think it was a College Basketball Insider, just how physical the college game has become. And that Torres, who's a big college basketball guy, said, yeah, it's actually more physical in many ways than the NBA. And then Rex Chapman entered the chat. Or no, I'm sorry, not Rex Chapman, but J.J. Redick entered the chat. And then started calling Aaron Torres a shithead. And that was that. But I don't think he's necessarily wrong. The intensity with which the men play, because especially in a single elimination tournament, It's breathtaking. It's unbelievable. Is it the most artistic basketball? No, not necessarily. Some people don't like the fact that Alabama's all threes and whatever dunks and putbacks they can get. But still, it's a big difference. So I'm reminded once again, now that I've watched my one women's game a year, not for me. But I'm super happy they're thriving and getting more opportunity, and I love it. But it ain't for me. Because at the end of the day, it's just a product, right? It's an entertainment product. And the problem with all women's sports that are the same as the men's sports is that, with few exceptions, they're always inferior, just as a product. And again, before you clutch your pearls and start typing an email to me, think of it this way. What's the difference between a men's basketball game and a women's basketball game? Well, one of the products, the people on the court have ovaries, but you can't see them. That's it. That's the difference. At the end of the day, it's the same product. Team, ball, hoop. Now, there's atmospherics and there's off-the-court stuff that make the college women's game appealing, and I'm all for that. The sense of community. These are our girls. We follow them. We love them. We know them in the community. We like their personalities. We want to support them. I feel like I'm part of something. That's all great. But if you're not in that club, if you're just saying, I want to watch a product, I mean, the product is vastly inferior, without a doubt. Will it do 10 million this game or better? I think I predicted on the morning show it was going to do 13 million. That might be a bit of a reach because I kind of forgot it's not for the championship. It was not even a Final Four game. It was just the Elite Eight. So maybe it'll do better than 10 or 11. Probably not because it's a cable game. Who knows? It doesn't matter the rating. Good show, good sportsmanship. Iowa moves on, and that's it for Iowa LSU. Whew, that's 13 minutes. You guys are going to kill me. Let's move on. So the other day, I was talking to Jay about Caleb Williams and his painted fingernails and his lip gloss and his pink phone, and I was kind of going, sure about this guy? And he was adamant, angry in fact, saying, I don't give a damn. I don't care about any of that. Others have kind of mirrored that opinion. And I'm just here to say that if you like football and are curious to see how player X is going to do in the pros at quarterback, the most demanding position in the game, if you say you don't care, then you don't care in a very narrow sense. You don't care in that, well, if he's good and minds his P's and Q's and works hard and gets along with his teammates, then I don't care. But to say you don't care as if it doesn't matter in the evaluation of a guy, you're lying and you're crazy. And you're going to potentially miss some cues or some clues about guys. Now, you can make mistakes on this. There's no question about it. One of the things that caused Justin Herbert to kind of fall back a bit, because he's a freaking stud and he should not have lasted till, what did he last, till seventh overall? One of the things was the buzz on him, the vibe on him was that he was just too soft-spoken. He was just a little bit too reserved and they couldn't get a read on his personality. Well, fuck, they were wrong. He's just a really chill West Coast kind of guy. But a lot of these other cases, oh, you want to know who the guy is. Who are they really? And the NFL has an amazing way of revealing exactly who guys are, whether they're winners and workers and committed to being a pro's pro or if there's something else. Let's go through a few. RG3. RG3 fooled the shit out of me. He seemed to be the smartest, most grounded guy at the podium when he came into the league for the Redskins in 2012. I said at one time he was unnaturally mature for his age. Boy, was I fucking bamboozled. Why? Because RG3 learned early on how to recite all of the successories quotes that you see in the gift shop on mugs and posters. This is a guy who knew all these fancy quotes, but had zero actual accountability. He had no problem putting himself above the team, and he was, at the end, fucking hated. I saw it up close. I was working with Chris Cooley, a guy who played with him and was in that locker room shortly after he retired and was doing radio. And boy, did I get a real understanding from Cooley about just what a catty and vicious place the NFL locker room can be. RG3 was fake, and locker rooms knew this. When he had his quote about, well, even Brady and Rodgers won't be good if the team isn't good, it collapsed the whole narrative. RG3 was done. Now, he hid that, and so it was hard to see. But that's the kind of thing when you're looking at quarterbacks. Who are they? Zach Wilson. You wondered, is he a pretty boy with rich parents? Is he this blonde-haired, blue-eyed, incredibly good-looking kid who's athletic enough to have thrived at the lower levels but pretty much had everything go his way in life? And how will he deal with adversity? And how good is he really? You know, they called him the Mormon Manziel. And he kind of was in so many ways. But then it all got revealed when he had that one shit game. He had another shit game. I think he threw three picks, and a reporter asked him, well, what responsibility do you take for the loss? He said, I don't take any responsibility for the loss. Boom. And that was it. Curtains for Zach Wilson in New York. It took a day for everyone in the media and the team to go, wait a minute, that's fucking bullshit. And by Wednesday, they had demoted him to third string. He was starting, then he says that quote, they demote him to third string. That was when you go, wow, okay, we know who this guy is. This is a guy who probably fucks his mom's hot girlfriends. All right, check, now we know. Vince Young, my good friend Cowboy Mike, who's a big Texas fan, insisted to me, he's a winner. He's just a winner. I was hearing stuff from people about Vince Young when he first came into the NFL, and it was like, yeah, you know, he can't operate except for out of the shotgun. He's a lot of running plays, you know. He's a work in progress, even though he was such a sensational college player. And I was sharing these with, you know, my guy Cowboy Mike, and he's like, that's nonsense. He's a winner. Well, remember when Vince Young got sad about playing badly and ended up going AWOL without his cell phone? Metro Police in Tennessee got called. People were worried that he had talked about killing himself at one point. Then finally they found him, and he was at a buddy's apartment eating wings. And you're like, all right, that's weird. Vince Young also refused to come off the sidelines during the fourth quarter of a Titans season opener. He eventually relented on that, but only to sprain his knee a couple of plays later, and that sort of set things off. We found out who Vince Young was. A great college player, period. But not made for a man's league. Dwayne Haskins, there were red flags all over him. And some people wrote about those red flags, and boy, those some people got crushed. The pushback was, how dare you? And of course, there's always racism involved when it comes to a black quarterback. But guess what? Every red flag about Haskins and his wackadoo family was right. Then he showed it taking selfies when he should have been running back into the game after his first win. Then he hired strippers for his birthday party during the pandemic. Whoops, got suspended. And it ended, sadly, for Dwayne Haskins walking into a dump truck on a Florida highway at 3 a.m. after his car broke down or ran out of gas. And that's a terribly sad thing. But again, this is why you want to get a read on, well, who is this guy? Baker Mayfield. Kind of looked like a douche for a while, turned it back with this past year in Tampa. Good for him. Deshaun Watson fooled everybody, fooled me at least. I was like, this Deshaun Watson, I like this guy. He's buttoned up. He's a pro's pro. He's committed to it. And I was like, oh no, he's a fucking pervert. Jesus. Mike Vick was running a dogfighting ring. Michael Vick, when he was the biggest star in the game. Jameis Winston, who was he? Well, he was careless off the field with his life in college. Possibly committing rape, BB gun wars around campus, stealing crab legs. Guess what? Not going to believe this. He was careless on the field with the football as well. Oh, entertaining as hell. Eating W's, pregame speeches, but that's who he is. I remember Mark Sanchez was declared to be almost presidential in his demeanor and appearance and his pre-draft meetings with teams. According to one Steve Young, Hall of Famer Steve Young, smart guy. Almost presidential, the words. I'll never forget it. Mark Sanchez stunk. Not only authored the butt fumble, but was a 56% career passer, finished his career with more INTs than touchdowns. Woof. So yes, I do want to know, what makes Caleb Williams tick? Is he just eccentric? Does he just like pink as a color? Does he just like messing with the media by saying, watch this, I'm going to paint my nails, I'm going to go crazy about this? What makes him tick? How is he going to, because right now, this is the golden gravy portion of his athletic life. He's had a good college career, not as good as it should have been, but he's going to go 1-1 to a team that cleared out its existing quarterback on nothing but a promise to make him comfortable in a major market. He has not thrown a single interception. He has not said one dumb thing at a press conference that gets everyone riled up. He is undefeated so far. Wait until the adversity comes. Who will Caleb Williams be? I don't know. So you can say you don't care, quote unquote, about what a guy does off the field or how his personality presents. But what you're really saying is, as long as he's good, dot, dot, dot. You do need to pay attention, though, because sometimes they're telling you who they are in no uncertain terms. All right, quick break. Coming up, cleaning up a huge mistake, a promise to do better, and an exciting announcement for subscribers, and maybe you'll jump in too. You are listening to the Zabecast. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We are back. It is email time. You can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. All feedback appreciated, but not always agreed with. Here we go. Buckle up. My guy Waylon says, Steep, I don't know what the fuck made you think Andy is behind the paywall worthy. It wouldn't matter if he was with Scott, Solly, Smoot, Jay, Hatch, or Joe Rogan. He will still suck and will cause me not to listen. Sure, overall it just cost me $1.25, but it's something I will not listen to. Well, wait a minute. It didn't cost you $1.25. That's for... Well, actually, no, that would be $1.25 per episode on Friday if you're looking at it that way. But let's not get into the dollars and cents right now, shall we? More on that in a second. Not to mention the principle of it all after saying 2 weeks ago it would be Scott and Solly on Fridays. Okay, hey, Waylon, Scott was on vacation. What do you want me to do? I get things happen and schedules get fucked up. Do you get that? Because I don't know if you do. But Jim Carrey screeching from Dumb and Dumber would be a better ad to the pod. Andy is up there with Ron Thomas as worst guests on your podcast, yet your loyalty to him blinds you to his horrific takes and meh, complacent, horrible attitude about real issues. I don't give a fuck what the guy said a few weeks back. J.A.Y. is paywall worthy when it's not Scott and Solly. I know a month or so ago somebody said they would listen to you read out of a phone book. I'd rather listen to that than Andy and would happily pay the $1.25 to know it was done instead of him being on. The airplane guy and your mom and dad are more entertaining than Andy. I'd say keep up the good work, but it hasn't been that good as of late. Okay. From the other end of the spectrum, Friday's podcast, John Kessler says, that was one of your best podcasts ever. This week was a bit shaky with the audio and all, but you crushed it on the Friday premium podcast. Thanks. Thank you. This one from Chris Kerr. Zabe, the Sunday pod dropped early, 7:30 p.m. on the West Coast, took the dog for a walk and listened to you and Andy in a very timely podcast. I'm going to head over to Home Depot and get some tape measures. We need those kind of things out here in Portland. By the way, the NCAA said the court's been fixed. They just put a new line out there. They could not stain the part that should have been stained. It was a 9-inch difference. 9 inches. Nailed it. More X2, says Ian Schrank. Yes, he's good. More X2 just to piss the haters off. Only because I love you, says Michael Hollenbach. Technically, Alabama's also in the SEC. This following, and I quote from the chat with Jay, quote, Tennessee, the only SEC team left in the tourney, that's it, that's the list. I let that go. I should have known off the tip of my tongue. I've got bracket fog right now. You are the best, so please know I only bust your balls because you are awesome. That's what guys do. By the way, Clemson of the Final Four looking pretty baller so far, Mike. Yeah, well, it didn't come through, so there you go. Look, I deserve that one. There's a harsher criticism coming on that. Let me find it right here in my stack of emails. I printed them out this time. Don't know if... all right, doesn't matter. I'll get to it in a second. Let's see. This one from SB. Steed, of the many beefs that Jay has declared on this podcast, his low-key feud with Mr. X has to be the weirdest. And his latest angle of attacking a documented win-loss record goes to new levels of what the fuckery? As someone who has made more than a few Stauskas-sized bets copying X's homework over the years, I can say this, he wins. The doctor has stopped the fight in J versus mathematics. Everyone, the sun rises in the east. Jay, does it really, though? Smash cut to the end of the podcast where Jay's FTG is Copernicus. Well, Jay and Mr. X have a feud about Mike Trout. That goes back because Jay loves baseball and X loves baseball. And so the two of them got into an argument about Mike Trout's, quote, value. And they were kind of arguing past each other, so it didn't really make a ton of sense, but... yeah, that's where they kind of crossed lines the first time. I don't get this last one. I was like, really? And I go, well, I'm not a verification service on all of Mr. X's plays. And the 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, you know, there are out there verification services that try to track pundits and handicappers. But I'm not that for Mr. X. I do know that his baseball picks that he has given to me on the air or on the podcast have an astounding record approaching 80%, depending on how you slice it. He did not have a good year last year. He also didn't come on this pod to give the totals. Also, some books close the season totals early after the stupid game in Korea, or games in Korea. Michael Cox, Twib, I got goosebumps when you played the This Week in Baseball closing music. A buddy of mine and I have a long-standing argument about who gets to use it at his funeral. Wow. Well, both use it. Or one of you can use Gathering Crowds, the ending credits, and the other one can use Jet Set, which is the intro. Let Jay know that nobody tries to put the toothpaste back in the cap. I hope you find a bunch of bites of athletes using analogies incorrectly and mock him with it. Glad to have him back, though. Sincerely, Michael Cox. Did he say you can't get the toothpaste back in the cap? First of all, if you're still using a capped toothpaste where you have to screw the cap on, what are you doing? They make much better flip-top squirty squirts. Unscrew, really. Unless it's a travel size. That's the only time. This one from Chris in Portland. On the road with Hedy Lamarr. Groan. Steez. After an unusually long intro, 4 minutes of commercials, including my bookie, Tecovas, and Katherine Heigl's dog food, which I fast-forwarded through, I survived then 21 minutes and 40 seconds of excruciating, listening to a fascination with petrified wood, where the best park is to put a trailer, and look at this really narrow tunnel discussion with Charge, WTF. I love Charge, i.e. Whiskey Weekend Recap is engaging, but it took almost 22 minutes to get to anything worthwhile. Notice I didn't say sports, I just said worthwhile. Some of your best content is non-sports, especially with Charge, but yesterday was painful. Hedy Lamarr, painful. Seems like you got sucked into the vortex of Zion. You usually get impatient and try to rein him in. I did not fast forward, but I was tempted. But as a loyal listener subscriber, that would be sacrilegious. Keep up the good work, Chris in Portland. Thank you, Chris. Listen, I was interested. I will ask questions about things I'm interested in, and I was interested in hearing about Zion National Forest and his travels. So I'm sorry, but you're right. I should probably pare it down. We're here for a good time, not a long time. Aggie Jason, Jason Hinchcliffe. Mistakes! Exclamation point. Dear dipshit.
What? You talking to me?
Loyal 1%er here. Listening to the Jayco show, Alabama is a member of the SEC. Also in the Sweet 16 with Tennessee. Also, dipshit, Mel Allen, the host of This Week in Baseball, was a broadcaster for the Yankees, not the Phillies. Yeah. Harry Callis. Harry Carey, the NFL Films used Harry Callis, who is a Phillies guy. And I believe a Phillies guy took over for Mel Allen afterwards, but don't quote me on that. See, this is now, excuse my voice, this is a fact I'm going to have to check on in real time. This brings the podcast to a screeching halt. You know, nobody's going to be perfect on things, and I'm going to try to be better. I promise to try to be better. But this is why on a 22-minute, tightly produced, with a staff of a dozen writers and producers show, like PTI, with just two guys, they created Stat Boy to come on at the end and go, okay, this was a mistake, that was a mistake, this was not quite right. And that's the most heavily prepared 22 minutes. We don't have that many people with that many eyes on this. And my memory is faulty and I conflate guys, and that's part of just having too many names in my head and doing this for too many years and getting old and senile, sadly, one day at a time. Who replaced Mel Allen on This Week in Baseball? See, that's the thing. I'm going against the collective. Oh, you know what? It was not a Philly guy. It was a guy by the name of Ozzie Smith. Yeah, I think I heard of him. Played shortstop for the Cardinals. Did backflips. Pretty good player. Good contact bat. No power. None whatsoever. All right. Thank you for correcting me, Jason, and for calling me a dipshit. Eddie Prince says, Jay's list. I totally agree with his can't quit them list. However, I must correct you on the Jennifer's haircut. It was called the Rachel, not the Aniston. P.S. Best Jennifer movies were The Breakup and Along Came Polly. Have a great week. Okay, corrected on that. This one from Mike Ament. Good catch on the Twib music. But however, Connor McDavid, who you said boxed No, it was not Connor McDavid. It was Connor McGregor. Connor McDavid is a hockey player in the NHL. So fuck that up right there. Okay, there's a big pile of papers now at my feet. Kenneth Hesser says, Galdi next week. You got to give an honor to talk, among other things, WrestleMania at the Link. Love the show as always. Kenny in Florida. I will try to do that. I guess WrestleMania is coming up this weekend. Then there's this. This is my biggest fucking mistake of last week, and it was born of just being lazy and glancing at whatever I see on the internet and running with it like a moron. I should be better. I'm going to be better. I have to be better than this. This one from Harold Hayward III, size of the Port of Baltimore. Dear Zabe, I heard you say on the game, and both of your co-hosts missed it, and also on this podcast, that the Port of Baltimore handled, quote, 90% of the inbound international freight for the U.S. You are a tech nerd, a plane nerd, an infrastructure kind of nerd. How? How could you repeat this vastly incorrect statement without thinking about the absurdity of it? Ever heard of New York? FFS? That's for fuck's sake. How about Los Angeles? Baltimore handles a lot of cars and outbound coal, sure. Even there, though, it's not the end of the world. Certainly not comparable with the economic disaster that our government officials create on a daily basis with their decisions. I understand that. This was either a major mistake in reading comprehension, or you saw something quick some chuckleheaded posted and didn't think critically about it. Yikes, man. That CPAP change was a serious miscalculation. LOL. Trey in Oregon. Trey, guess what? You're right. That was bad of me. The actual number of percentage of international ocean-bound freight the city of Baltimore, the Port of Baltimore takes is 2.7. Just a bit less than 90%. I suck. I'm going to read. I'm going to pause. I'm going to poke into things and go, really? In fact, I need to take on Jay's stance of, really? But is it really? This is where I needed. I'm now laughing at the symmetry of this. Didn't even think of it until right now. I need to be more like Jay and just repeat three times for no reason. Really, though? Really? Is it really 90%? Shit, I don't know where I saw that number, but it was a number that was too good to check. That's another phrase I've heard before. It's too good to check. Not even too good to be true. It's too good to check because I'm afraid if I do check it, guess what? It will turn out to not be true. I will do better on my part to not fuck it up. Two things I did, though, read and learn about the tragedy, the infrastructure fuck-up of that ship, which may have been an accident. Maybe it was not quite an accident. Maybe it was no accident at all. But I did find out two things, which are astounding. One is they say it's a complicated process getting all the shit out of the water. I don't get it. Just throw a big old chain down there and start dragging. Drag, 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 drag. Just wreck the whole bridge. You're going to rebuild the whole thing anyway, right? I would assume, right? Build it bigger, better, stronger, more barge resistant. But they say it's, you know, they're going to open up a small channel and it's going to take a long time and it's very complicated. Okay, whatever. But they said the investigation into why it happened, it's going to take 2 years. 2 fucking years. I'm sorry. No way. There is no way that our government, which spends billions on stuff like this, should take 2 years. 6 months tops. You start calling people right now. You start pulling records right now. You start listening to the black box cockpit recorders, which they have, and you start compiling all the shit. Now, it's not that, you're not solving a mystery here. 6 months, a team of 20 people. If it's not done in 6 months, what the fuck are you doing with your days? Oh, but wait, there's one more thing. Apparently, and I didn't check this, although I should, there was one account I read that said, oh, guess what? There's about 2 minutes missing from the recordings of the ship. Well, well, well. I mean, it's just like when you need recordings the most, it seems. Whether it's an Epstein cell or any other high-profile case. Nope, nope, we don't have them. What are you going to do? They've been deleted. Can you believe it? And nothing ever happens to anybody. All right, time for
my big announcement,
which I dropped on the floor. You heard people saying this guy's not paywall worthy, that guy's not, this guy would be, that guy isn't. You're thinking about subscribing to this little podcast, I think wrong. Yes, I'm going to have Scott and Solly join me on Fridays as much as I possibly can with schedules, my vacation, their vacation, etc. I can't guarantee it every week, though. I just can't. I will try to get somebody good, my better or best guys and gals, but as you've heard, everyone who comes on this podcast for me for free has haters. Everybody. I can assure you of that. So not everybody's going to appeal to everybody, but stop thinking of like Friday as this da-da-da-da. During football season, I think there's more value there. But I think, obviously, the rest of the year, if you're expecting for some wow, sizzle, oh my God. Like, I could book a really big name in some area, some sport. You know, it might be baseball, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's a big name. That's a good get. You got Roger Clemens. That's great, but it was baseball. Not everyone's going to like it, so stop thinking about Friday as special. Better yet, here is what subscribers are now going to get starting right now, and that is ad-free Zabecasts 5 days a week. There you go, huh? People complaining about all the ads. Well, now for a mere $4.33 a month, if you buy a year at a time, you will get ad-free me 5 days a week. Not only that, but as soon as I post the podcast, you're going to have access to it. So when I put it to bed at night, if you wake up early or want to download it for a flight the next day, guess what? You'll have that access. And of course, you'll get Fridays as well. Nothing changes for you freeloaders. For you freeloaders who are like, meh, I ain't paying nothing for your bullshit. Too much stuff that's wrong. Too many of your cronies who I don't like. Fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep listening for free, fast-forwarding through ads, and bitching to me via email. But if you would like, starting right now, subscribe to the Zabecast and get ad-free all 5 days a week. All right, and then we'll see what happens come football season, but that's my promise to you. So welcome, congratulations, your cries have been heard, and we are delivering, so there you go. Thank you for reaching out to me, and thank you for everyone who does subscribe. And if I get four more subscribers from this, then you know what, it's a win. Because then I can say, even if it's nothing, right, no bump in subscribers, I can say, well, you can't argue about, oh, I wish it was ad-free. Well, there's a way. Subscribe. Boom. Ad-free. You bypass it all. Buy Tegova's boots, though. Bet at my bookie. Get that dog food from Katherine Heigl. Your dog will love it. Your dog has no opinion of Katherine Heigl. Leave her out of it. And, you know, still support all the sponsors of this program, of this podcast. But you could bypass them all with getting the ad-free. All right, that's it for me today. My voice is going. Can you hear that? Opening day in 39 degrees and sleet in Milwaukee for me tomorrow and the boys at 97.3 The Game. It's going to be something. Game is inside, though. Thank God for that. But the tailgating outside, it's going to be only for the Wisconsin Hardy. So we'll see how long I last. I don't even own a Brewers coat. Like, that's the, I'm not going to buy a Brewers coat, okay? I got a Packers coat. I am not buying a coat meant for an outdoor summer sport that is played indoors just because of opening day. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, everybody, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.